Welcome to The Grow Show, brought to you by Marty Grunder's Grow Group, where we specialize in helping landscaping companies to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grunder Landscaping Company. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays and are made possible with the support of Bob Yard. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and the Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show. Today, we're talking to our senior group leader, Mr. Jimmy Hendricks. We're going to talk about what team leaders do, the gentlemen and the women that report to Jimmy. We'll get into that here. This is definitely going to be an episode you're going to want to share with your team. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts or watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since a compliment. Yes, a compliment, ladies and gentlemen. It's spring, and if you're like me or Jimmy, you're running around with your head cut off, like your pants are on fire, however you want to describe it, and you're probably a little too focused on the negative. The unhappy clients, the team members not doing what they're supposed to be doing, your growing waistline because you're eating fast food, and the restless nights worrying about all sorts of things. That's most of what it is right now, we know. Well, last week, a client sent myself and his salesperson, Macy, here, a complimentary email, and it made my day, folks. It was almost like God sent it because we've been dealing with a lot. And the sending of this compliments, also, the person that sent this is a frequent listener to The Grow Show, so I wanted to recognize him. His name is Andrew. I'm not going to use his last name, but Andrew, thank you. Andrew is a super successful executive at one of America's most successful companies. He's busy, trust me. And he took the time to thank a little person in his life, and it made a difference. It motivated me that day, and it does this day, to be on the lookout for people and things that I can recognize. And you know what else I know? I feel better when I thank people and compliment them too. How about you try it? So to Andrew, thanks again. Let's play golf again soon, brother. Okay, Jimmy Hendricks, welcome, brother.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. Super glad to have you. We haven't had Jimmy on before. For those of you that come to the field trip, you've gotten to see Jimmy many times. We're going to talk about team leaders today. And first of all, for context, Jimmy, what's a team leader at Grunder Landscape?
A team leader, basically, they are an extension of the group leader. The team leader takes everything that we teach them, all of our core values, our mission statement, and they try to live by it. They try to train their team to it, and they try to work that way.
And each group leader has between 5 and 12 teams. You want to explain the difference? Like, you have more complicated stuff. I think you have 5 or 6, right?
Yes. Typically, I have around 5.
Okay.
It all depends on the season, yes.
Right.
The Moen group leaders, the LK group leaders, they may have 7 to 10 crews.
Right.
They don't need to spend quite as much time out as somebody who's building a pool project.
Right, exactly. And that's the difference. And these team leaders are taking 1 or 2 people with them every day, I guess. Sometimes when we super crew it, but for the most part, it's 2 and 3 men crews, and they're taking them out and they're getting the work done.
Yeah, we try to keep everyone on a 3-man crew. It makes things more efficient.
So let's talk about an installation job, and I think you could say a cleanup, and then we'll talk a little bit about mowing or whatever. You're predominantly construction, but you still know how they all work. I mean, you're in that room with all the group leaders. You're the senior guy here. They're relying on you for feedback. Talk a little bit about how a great team leader can get their job started.
Well, first of all, the great team leader comes from planning. They have got to get into their notes. They've got to plan ahead. So they can't spend their entire day chasing the job and policing the job. They've got to free up some time to plan ahead on everything.
Okay.
So that goes for the day while they're in it, right? They got to plan, what am I going to get done by lunchtime? What am I going to get done by the end of my day? And then they also, once they get towards the end of their day, they need to start planning tomorrow.
Okay. So like when they're getting started, there's a lot of planning that goes in the day before. Like, we're recording this on a Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. Let's just pretend you have somebody starting a backyard pool and hardscape and landscape tomorrow. What are they going to do today before they go home to have a successful tomorrow morning?
Well, they're going to look at prints. They're going to read their notes. They're going to find out what equipment is needed. Are permits pulled? Has the property been marked? Can we start right away, or do we just need to mobilize?
Okay.
That's the first step.
Okay. And there's usually pictures, or there's some kind of powwow. And I know we have a board that gets set every day by 4 o'clock. You want to explain a little bit about that and how that kind of lessens some of the craziness the next morning?
Yeah, we try to get our team leaders to do the 3 o'clock call. It's typically between 3 and 3:30. That allows all the group leaders to get together and allocate equipment and tools.
Okay.
Obviously, we don't have a tool for every single person to have one, right? We got to share those. So the group leaders get together. We expect our team leaders to give us feedback. What do I need tomorrow to be successful? So they all give us a call or a text, and then we meet up as a team and we decide who's going to allocate the excavator, the skid steer, you know, extra backpack loaders,
the chop saw, whatever
it may be.
And they might be doing a large paver job and maybe they're carrying pavers. You may put a double crew on it, right?
Yes.
So there, it's not just we come in here in the morning and we say, oh, let's see. I think I'll send you here. There's not a lot of that, is there?
There is not a lot of that. If you do that, you're chasing your tail. You're putting out a fire.
Right.
You're not,
and you're not making
it.
Money either.
Correct.
And that just causes stress, doesn't it? Could you imagine that in the morning if that's the way it was? Like that would, there's no way that would work emotionally.
You definitely witness it if you have a call off.
Yeah. Okay.
If someone calls in, you witness that.
Because then that crew can't go out.
Yes.
Or you got to maybe set, you got to move somebody else to run the crew, or you got to double them up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's important that we instill in our employees, our team members, that they're important. And when they're not here, they affect everyone, not just their crew.
Right. And this is a little bit mean, but we've terminated some people this year already for not showing up.
We have actually this week.
Yeah, this week. And it's not fun. I saw somebody walking out. I could tell they were getting terminated and it's not fun, but, and I'm not trying to be funny, but why do we do that?
Well, for one, if you tolerate that behavior, it spreads through the organization and everyone thinks they can just take a day off whenever they want without notice.
Right. And our bonus program, why don't you touch just a little bit on that? Because I think the way that's set up, that does push towards somebody coming into work, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So our bonus program is based off hours, right? We have sell a certain amount of hours. We need to produce more than that certain amount of hours to be profitable.
Right.
If a guy calls in, you put undue stress on the other members to pick up their pace. When they pick up their pace, quality suffers. It's a snowball effect, right?
And do you think the bonus program, you think it's, I mean, do you see value in it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good motivator for the guys.
Yeah.
You know, they take ownership in their job. They go down and they check our dials on the board. They want to see where they stand. And they, and you see good team leaders do this weekly.
And I'll give a little plug for the field trip. So if you come, you get an inside confidential look at us. Jimmy teaches at the field trip and you'll see how we do that. But I want to, I mean, I want to compliment you because I'm not patronizing you. I truly believe that when we have the grow meeting and you stand up in front of all our entire team, which ends up being about 150 between here and then the folks that are on the camera in Loveland, and you talk about where we are with the hours or you talk about the bonus, I think, Jimmy, it means more than if I did it because you're down there with those men and women that are actually doing the work. And I think they understand it. I have been amazed at how many of our H2B workers that don't speak English are looking at the board on those dials.
Mm-hmm.
It's like motivating to see.
Yeah, they actually understand
it. I know.
They can't read it all the way, but they understand.
They get the number part of it.
Because
it's what I always say when I teach, like the language that everyone can understand, ladies and gentlemen, is if the job was bid for 150 and it took 170, no bueno. If the job was bid for 150, it took 130, bueno.
Yes.
Like they get that.
Absolutely.
And there's a sense there. And so they get rewarded for the performance. They also get rewarded for how many hours they work, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's the other side of it.
Yep.
What other things about setting up the job before? People that follow us on the show, they know of my love for Aspire. Do you love Aspire? What role does Aspire play in this planning? How has that made things easier on you? You want to speak to any of that? And if you have challenges with Aspire, by all means, tell me. But I'd like to know your input on that.
Yeah, Aspire actually makes things quite a bit easier as long as it's used correctly.
Okay.
If everyone's doing their part and they're inputting the data comes back out and you have an easy project.
Yeah. If they don't, what happens?
If they don't, it's a struggle. You have the emails, text messages, calls.
And is that some of, I often see you at your desk till about 9 or so in the morning, sometimes 10, and you have your glasses on and you look intent.
Yep.
Sometimes when I go to the copier, you don't even see this, but I'm looking and you're, you know, I've seen you a couple times like this. Is that probably because somebody didn't fill out a number right or whatever?
Absolutely.
And then you're trying to play post-mortem analysis and.
Yeah, I have to drill in. So I too, just like the team leaders, I have to look ahead, right? So once my guys are gone for the day, I did my job yesterday to know they're good. But today I need to prepare for the next 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
Right? So I need to look at what jobs are coming. Are they correct in the system? Is the equipment that's anticipated correct?
We might have a piece of equipment down that we need. Like there are some specialized, like we only have one mini excavator. We don't have three.
Absolutely.
I think we only have one.
Yeah. And if two crews need an excavator, then we need to work on scheduling.
Yeah. Because we'll rent one if we have to, but if we can plan better and not rent one and shuttle the machine, we'll do that, right?
Absolutely.
And I don't think that takes away from the productivity. Like that's part of what this planning piece is all about.
Yeah. Well, me and Gaston, he's the other group leader that I work with on the construction side. We work well together. He may use the excavator till noon and we'll use our trucks to pick it up and move it midday to the next job.
Okay.
So that the team just keeps moving.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the stuff that you're doing. It seems like, and again, you don't know where I am all day. I don't know where you are all day. We don't have GPSs on our person, but it seems like group leaders kind of reconvene back here, or you're having a conversation with Gaston, like at 3:30, like, here's what I need. I need that machine. Okay. You're not done yet. Okay. We'll work in the front yard instead. Or, I mean, it's those kinds of things. It's the communication that's ongoing.
Absolutely. And it's daily. You have to do that every day. Otherwise someone's going to end up not being efficient.
So a couple things, like in Aspire, we've got the budgeted hours, the materials, the notes, the client expectations, the site constraints. I mean, there's a lot in there. And I think you know this, but we try to teach salespeople to do the work tickets and the drawings with the understanding that they're not available. Like they're on a Caribbean cruise and they can't be gotten a hold of. Now, that doesn't always work. We've had issues there. We're working through it. But that's the mindset, because... Right. What happens when you get a drawing that's not right? What does that do?
Well, it just slows the process.
Yeah, and it's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have to remeasure or you plan a job with a certain piece of equipment and that piece of equipment will not access the property because it's too large.
Right.
Then you have to start over with your plan.
I know we have some new team leaders that you're working with. Do you have trouble with them reading all the notes in Aspire? Like, what do you do there? You got a new guy. Young guy, you're working with him, you're trying to build him up, but at the same time, you told him to look at the work ticket and he didn't look at it. And how do you handle that? What do you do?
Well, we do a walkthrough with them every day on their job.
Okay.
Typically twice a day, beginning of the shift and end of the shift.
Especially before they leave, you're doing a walkthrough with a newer guy.
Yeah.
Now, especially like Edgar or Manuel, you're probably not saying anything to them.
No. And that's the pinnacle, right?
Yeah.
When they quit calling you and asking questions, they no longer need you. You've done your job.
Okay.
They are now a perfectionist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the newer guys, you know, they're calling and texting throughout the day every time they read a note or every time the property doesn't look like the plan.
Yeah.
So you have to be involved with them to get them understanding that what the expectation is. And once they got the expectation down pat, then they need to have the confidence to make their own decisions, right?
We had a really nice young man here, worked for a season or two, and he left us recently to, I think, join the fire department. And a comment he made was that you were the best boss he ever had. And it was nice because that young man, you know how I'm talking, he was probably 25.
Yeah, he was a young guy. And his father was actually my same age.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And he liked you. You related to him.
Yep.
What are you doing to relate with young people like that? Because I try to do it, but you find it hard?
Yeah.
The fact that you have kids that are a little younger than that, does that help? Like, how do you relate to somebody like that young man that he gives you a compliment that he loved working with?
I just talk to him about their life.
Okay.
You know, if they have a problem, if they were late for work one day, I want to know why.
So you'll go and you'll ask them why.
Yeah. How can I help you not have that problem?
Okay.
Right? If I need you here, then I'm going to help you solve the problem that kept you from here.
What else does a great team leader do the night before to have a good next day when he comes in here?
They share the information with their team.
Okay.
So they're not the only one holding the knowledge.
Okay.
If they've had time to get back here before 5 o'clock and they've looked through their notes, they can load materials for the morning and then they're not
a little head start on it.
They're out the door.
Yeah. Cause it gets pretty jammed up here. Even, I don't know, probably in max spring, we have 25 crews running out of here.
Yep.
And there's, I mean, even
everybody's got to load.
It's a zoo. And you always say in the morning about the safety, because I think that's all of us in management share that fear about somebody getting hit, because it's intense there for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, there is. So what else are you stressing to them to double check? What are other things? Because a group leader position is not easy. It has the most impact on people in the company of any other position, because if you have five crews, that's 15 guys for you. Lorenzo has 10 mowing crews. That's as many as 30 guys. I got two people that report to me.
Right.
So what are you doing? Like, how do you keep track of that? Are you reminding them to double check? We have the huddle in the morning that we do. Can you maybe give a little more insight as to how you help stay on top of all that stuff with them?
Well, typically when I have my conversations with my team leaders, I ask them questions. I don't tell them what they're doing the next day. That way they're invested,
that's
right?
That's the dad.
They drill into it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow?
Yeah, right.
What does tomorrow look like for you, right? So then they start explaining to me and I see how far they drilled into their job, if they just scanned over it or if they actually read everything.
So it could be an easier way just to tell them what to do, but then you're taking the monkey, as we've talked about, and you're not really empowering them. Yeah. And they're just, you know, they're going to be calling you all day for all kinds of stuff that they shouldn't be.
Right.
I mean, they ought to get to a point where they can handle that.
Yeah. To get them to not call you all day, you have to get them to grow on their own. You can't do it for them.
When we're loading and doing other stuff in the morning, is there anything in the morning that maybe we haven't touched on that you think is important? We have, and we'll show some pictures right now of our truck setups. We're a big believer in, we go to a lot of pain of time and expense to put an IPAC on a truck, an EB bed. These are nice setups, okay? There's not chrome wheels or things like that, but these are nice setups because we don't want someone to have to load everything they need in the morning and then take it all off at the end of the day. What else is a team leader doing in the morning to make sure he gets out of here?
Well, for one, a team leader is checking their toolbox and their truck every night.
Okay. Because, when they come back in.
Yeah.
And what about fuel and other stuff?
If their crew is just throwing the tools in the box and not placing them, you know, the boxes are built for the tools to be in a specific area.
Okay.
That way, if you drive my truck, you know where my tools are. They're the same as your truck, right? So if the new guys on your crew are just throwing things back in the box, you don't know if you have everything.
Yeah.
If it looks the same every day and you open that door, you know what you have in there.
And I know the answer to this. Talk about how we fuel up. And it's, in most cases, it's pretty true that everybody's out of here by 7:30, right? I mean, that's a pretty good average, unless there's some
If you have a large plant job or a large paper job.
And you're
job,
tarping, you might be at 8 o'clock, maybe.
Typically, it's a 7:30.
What are things we do to get out of here that early? Talk about fuel, talk about trucks being assigned. Maybe give a little bit of insight to that.
Well, when the team members and the team leaders come in first thing in the morning, they check the board, they find out what truck they're in.
Okay.
For the most part,
it's the same truck every day.
Yes. Once season gets rolling, yes, everyone stays in the same truck. I mean, you see it. We even name the trucks.
Yes, exactly.
The driver's name on the door.
Right.
Gives them some ownership.
Right.
But the team leaders, they should be coming in, you know, 10 to 12 minutes before their crew. That way they can walk to their truck. They can look it over. They can make sure any odds and ends that are not a normal job for the day, they picked that out already.
Yep.
And Matthew does a good job out in the yard. He pulls extra things for the guys, stuff that's out of his realm. If he has time, he'll pull it.
He's a hustler.
Yeah. He'll set it aside for the crew and say, hey guys, you know, job number three is right here.
Yeah.
And that helps the guys get moving too.
There's a lot of moving parts. You got a guy trying to get out of here in the morning. You got a second and a third. I know I see them taking boxes out of the side boxes that have seed and fertilizer and herbicide. They're filling those up. They're sweeping out the truck. There's vacuums. You want to give a little insight into what the number twos and number threes do, why we're loading to stay productive and maybe make the day go smoother?
Well, yeah, that's the team leader's job, is to allocate some of those tasks, right? So your number three may be the guy who grabs all your containers and he fills your seed, your pre-emergent, you know, stuff like that. He may make sure your mixed can is full, your regular gas can is full. The second on the crew, he's in the truck typically. He's cleaning the windows. He's making sure the iPad's charged, you know, all that
kind
of stuff. He's walking around the truck, making sure the air in the tires is correct and nothing's low.
And that makes me think of something. Talk about what we do on Mondays.
Every Monday, and we talk about it in the circle as a reminder, every Monday we make the guys do a truck check. And this gives them a little ownership for their own vehicle. Hey, I'm going to do my walk around. I'm going to fill out this report that says, hey, on my iPad, I'm going to click anything that is functioning or not functioning and leave a note.
There's an inspection sheet that's in Aspire in the fleet module.
Absolutely.
And you go through and check it off what needs to be attended to.
If anything needs repaired, we automatically know.
Yeah. And then that goes to Zach, our little fleet assistant, and then he can go make arrangements to get that.
Absolutely.
And that's all part of safety. Because I know before you came here, you worked in a factory where safety was very important. And you're a big guy. Like, I wouldn't want to mess with you. And when you talk in the morning, I think it matters. You say it every time. We're talking about spotters. We're talking about turning the wheels in. We're talking about putting the cones out. I think we say that every day.
We do.
And maybe we should not say it every day because maybe they gloss over it, but no one could ever leave that huddle in the morning and think, well, Jimmy doesn't give a crap about me. He just wants to get work done. Yeah. We talk about safety all the time, nonstop.
And we also do our safety meetings every week,
right?
You know, with a different topic. These are the things that keep the guys involved. They might get bored of it because they know it, but like I tell them, you're going to forget and you need the refresh.
That's something I neglected to put in my notes here for this. Talk about the Wednesdays and what the safety meeting is.
Every Wednesday we have a different topic. It's just like a tailgate topic that all construction crews do. We just go a little more in depth. We kind of aim those topics towards Grunder Landscaping and how we function. So we go through that every Wednesday. And it just keeps safety in the front of their minds.
And on every Wednesday, folks, salespeople are required to be in at 7 a.m. and they're out in that circle for a little camaraderie, for an opportunity to break bread with production, because there's often in companies, you know, there's a divide. It's like there's this civil war going on between sales and production.
Yep.
And we don't want that. And I would hope you would say, well, Marty's pretty in the middle. Like, if sales is wrong, he'll tell you sales is wrong. If production's wrong, he'll tell you production's wrong. But we want them to be there to compliment.
Yeah.
But also, they drive a ton too. So like, today's Thursday. Yesterday, you were teaching on, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday, you were teaching on driving and safety and seatbelts and
defensive driving.
Defensive driving. Yes. You were talking about how if somebody goes by you and speeds and flips you off, you don't engage with them. You get over in the lane and you just wave to them. You don't talk on your phone. I mean, you were going through, and a lot of our drivers don't speak English. They speak Spanish.
Right.
So they have their sheet in Spanish, yours is in English, and then you're reading the first sentence, and then Lorenzo's helping with the translation, and it does seem to work.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Like, I don't think it's this convoluted mess. Does the language barrier, is it a major challenge for you anymore?
Not for me.
Yeah, I don't
think
so
either. It's a major challenge for someone who's new.
Yeah, and why is that?
If you've never interacted with someone from other countries, their culture is different. The words are in a different order when they speak.
Right.
You know, the expletive is on the wrong side us.
Right.
So once you understand how their language works, you only need about 10 words and you can.
And I think between hand signals and pictures.
Yeah.
I would
and
say.
Pointing.
And pointing, right. Yes. I mean, it sounds funny, but if you go and ask our American team leaders, are they glad they have H2B workers? Every single one of them is going to say, heck yes.
Absolutely.
And it's just neat to watch them work. Like, they don't cause a lot of problems for us, do they?
No,
we're grateful for them. So grateful. I guess you get on the site, a team leader gets on a site to set up a job for the first time. What are they doing? What are some of the first things they're looking for?
Well, obviously the first thing they do when they pull up is turn their wheels in and get their cones out.
All right. Yep.
And before we're unloading tools, before we're doing any of that, the team leader needs to go to the door and communicate with the homeowner that Grunder Landscaping is on site.
Yes.
So once they've communicated, they're walking around the house. They're looking for the cable TV connection.
The utility market.
They're looking for all the utilities, anything that we could possibly damage while we're there.
Right.
They're looking for that while the crew is getting the wheelbarrows down and the tools out, stuff like that. That way that can all be communicated as a team when they start.
Yeah, because if we cut somebody's cable and the bachelor's on and they can't watch it, that's bad.
Or they work from home.
even better point. Like, it's you know, and they bury those darn cables so indiscriminately. They're everywhere.
Some
place are this deep. Some place are okay.
Yep.
But we don't want to inconvenience the customer. They're surveying the job site. Anything else on the pre-trip inspection there that you want to talk about?
Well, for the pre-trip, the guys just need to always make sure, and I stress this, they have to make sure their trailer hitch is intact, functioning properly, and their lights are functioning properly.
So I saw yesterday when we were done with the safety circle, I didn't want to go over there because when I go over, I just feel like I'm it maybe reflects poorly, like, I don't trust you to do something. So I left, but there must have been a near miss or something happened. What were we talking about yesterday?
So yesterday we had a crew load a skid steer. The trailer was latched and it had the chains on. However, the pintle hitch did not have the pin in it.
Oh gosh.
So when they loaded the skid steer, the trailer came straight up to the safety chains.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing was damaged. No one was hurt.
So that was the near miss.
But it was a near miss. And so we went through and did trailer connection training one more time to let them know, hey, you go through the 6-point step. We even have a process for connecting the trailer.
Right.
It's a 6-point step. You do it 3 times. You touch it with your hand and you say it. It's no different than a commercial driver who does a pre-trip inspection. They walk the truck. They touch everything that they are checking. It just helps you understand why you're checking it and ensuring
it's there. And I think that is so cool because old Grunder, prior to you getting here, we might have addressed that right away, but there wasn't the huddle that we have in the morning. And that really affords a agenda to do that, doesn't it? I mean, we just, I saw like 30 guys went over to a truck and trailer and I figured it was something with the pintle hook. And you were re-instructing everybody on what the expectation was. So immediate feedback from the day before.
Yeah, you have to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
So if something happens, it's going to be in the front of everyone's mind. They're talking about it. So let's correct it right then.
What about our slogan, and where service is always in season? How does that play into effect when we're working on a job, you know, affecting the neighbors, impacting them, keeping a job site clean? Talk a little bit to the mindset there for how we work on sites.
Well, for our crews, the key is always smiling, right? If a neighbor comes out and they're unhappy, when you go walk up to them, be smiling.
You teach them that?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
They
That's
need
awesome.
To be smiling.
Why?
Because it will change the attitude of the guy who's getting ready to yell.
Right?
Right.
It does change the whole
thing. If you're upset, you're not nearly as upset if I'm smiling at you.
Yeah, right. I didn't know you trained that. That's awesome. I'm learning stuff.
It will lessen the impact.
Yeah. Anything else about that?
We just tell them to treat it like it's your own home.
Yeah.
You need to keep it clean. If you know rain's coming in at lunchtime, let's tarp the concrete.
I heard you say that yesterday. Like,
we don't want wheelbarrow tires on the sidewalk.
And the worst is that compost that we use. That stuff is
stains,
black paint.
Yes.
Yeah. So. And you only do that once, and then you don't do that again. So we have tarps we carry in the truck that we put underneath the back of the bed.
Mm-hmm. And we also will tarp or put a board down across the sidewalk if you have to cover.
Right.
You know, if we're crossing 50 times,
we
don't want to stripe across there.
Well, no, and we don't want to have to send a hot washer out there later to try and do that for a couple more hours to go. Not everything is in a spire. Like, it's not going to tell you everything. How do you make up for that? We are a paperless company, except for drawings. We use a 24x36 or an 11x17. There are still paper drawings. How do you make up for the stuff that's not in a spire?
Well, the stuff that's not in a spire typically is going to be a call from the crew to me.
Okay.
When those calls stop,
that's
when we know we've got a senior team leader, because they understand how to discern that information and decode it.
Yeah.
Here's what the customer wants us to have, right? We know how to get there. We've done it 1,000 times. So we're going to do A through C in that order, and then we'll get the result they want. Not every crew does A through C the same way, but as long as they're doing it the Grunder way and the result's the same,
we're happy. Yeah. How does a team leader get promoted here? We have a couple team leaders that are now group leaders. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for in a team leader to say, hopefully we have a couple new young guys that started out this year that are doing spring cleanups, which is the easiest thing we do on the construction landscape side. What are you looking for in them to think that maybe they can handle more?
I'm looking for the guys who can see the future.
Okay.
They're looking ahead.
Okay.
You know, they have their crew working on step A, B, and C while they are planning D and getting it ready.
Why is that?
They
important?
Understand their timeline.
Okay.
They understand their efficiency and they care about it. So if they treat the job like they're trying to beat the clock and keep the quality at top level, then they're somebody who wants to we want them to be a team leader, right? Because they care.
Right. What about, are there opportunities for us? We have a team leader in training, a number two person. How do we try to develop other team leaders?
Sometimes we will empower them on a Saturday.
Okay.
We'll say, hey, you get to run the crew today.
Yeah.
We want you to run the tablet. We want you to decide what we're doing first. We want you to drive the truck. And then we'll just have the team leader sit back and
ride in the passenger seat.
And if we fall off pace by lunch, we say, hey, step in and correct it and we'll move on.
Do we have team leaders here that have been really good at developing new team leaders?
We do.
Who's been good at that?
We have several. Okay. Edgar has made some really good team members into team leaders.
What about him? Like, how does he done that? Because he's a very quiet young man.
He leads by example.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah. He shows them hands-on how to do everything. Manuel and Miguel, they are both still growing in their positions, but they have done wonderful jobs teaching people how to hardscape.
And I hate to get sappy, but they're inspiring to watch them work.
Yeah.
They have a smile on their face. They'll come in here. You know, I heard you say yesterday, hey, listen, they're calling for rain this afternoon. So if it's a drizzle, we expect you to just tough it out. You got to stay in that. If it's a downpour, you get in your truck, you hit the rain delay, you probably work on greeniest training or something like that. But I've seen days where Edgar and Manuel and many others come in here. I mean, they look like they fell in a lake. I mean, they just don't stop. And they're sending money back to their families in Mexico. I think they're motivating some of our young Americans to, like, this is what it takes to get ahead in life. Like, this isn't easy.
Absolutely.
This is not an easy job.
Yeah.
What else about developing team leaders or number two? Is there anything else there that maybe we miss we should be talking about?
The only part that I see that's typically missing is the unthought of things.
Okay.
The basics, right? Making sure everything is put back in the truck correctly. Making sure everything at the ranch when you come back is put back correctly.
Okay.
Everything is such a rush and hurry, hurry, hurry that the team leader is just fixing all the little problems rather than teaching the guys, hey, this is the proper place to dump this or that. If you have a wheelbarrow mulch extra, we're not going to dump it. It's going back in the bin for reuse, right? We do a lot of recycling of materials here, so why would we move it?
We had a good example. They went to my house a week or so ago to plant two spruce that we had in some containers on a job site, and we didn't want to throw them out. We planted them in my backyard where I'm trying to create a screening, and it's in wood chips, but I didn't do the bid. I should have looked at it. And you probably know about this. And they loaded mulch on the truck and they didn't need mulch.
Yep.
So I looked at the mulch and I said, oh, Johnny, they brought you mulch. And he said, yeah, he goes, we don't need any mulch. He said, but don't worry, I'm not wasting it. I put it back in the pile. And I just was like, that is so cool. Like, you know that. Cause like $60 worth of mulch.
Right.
We don't even throw that out.
Very understandable.
Right.
I mean, he gets it.
Right. Yeah, he does get it. But that's indicative of the training. That's the mindset we have here. And look, folks, we're talking to Jimmy Hendricks, our senior group leader here at Grunder Landscaping Company today on the Grow Show. We probably sound like we're perfect. Jimmy, we're not.
Definitely.
We got warts all over the place. I mean, we almost flipped a trailer off a truck and somebody almost, if the safety chains wouldn't have been on that trailer, that truck could have gone through the back of the truck.
Yep.
He could have gotten hurt. I mean, that could have been bad.
Yeah, there could have been all kinds
of... God bless us for no... Yeah. So we're not perfect, but we're trying to address stuff and work on it. What is the toughest thing that you think that a team leader has to deal with on a job site? Is it an upset client? Is it a guy not working hard? Are those both tough? Any insight on that and how you train to have those things handled?
Yeah, typically the toughest thing that we're going to deal with is our team leader being able to manage different personality types that work for him.
Okay.
Right? Obviously, the older you get, the more understanding you get with personality types, right?
That's right. You do. We've done work with StrengthsFinder. Yeah.
But when you're young, it's hard to understand how to lead different personalities. Some guys are very tough to lead.
Yeah.
So you have to feed into what works well for them.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of things that we teach our
team
leaders.
Is that stuff that you're having conversations when they come back at the end of the day on? How are you working with some of these folks on this?
Well, typically they'll come to us and they'll say, hey, I'm having trouble with my number three.
Okay.
I give him instruction. He only does half of it.
I see.
Things like that.
Yep,
so then we get into a deeper discussion of who is this person and how do we motivate them? Why are they here? Yep. What do they want?
We'll wrap this up. Obviously, the goal is to get a job done under budget and have the client happy. Nothing get torn up and we do this. Is there anything else in that process when you go to wrap up a job? Like, what do? Do you make a personal visit before they leave? Do they check complete on the... Talk a little bit about how we wrap a job up and keep quality up.
Typically, the group leaders do their rounds daily, right?
Okay.
We get to as many properties as we can for a final inspection, you should say. They may not be 100% complete, but they're
close 90. Enough and you see some things.
Yeah, yeah. So as soon as we get there, we walk the property, we check all the details, we check the important stuff, right? What are the details that other companies miss that Grunder doesn't? We make sure we go over those with the crews while we're there. But yeah, we try to make sure we get a site visit prior to them hitting complete on the ticket. if they have questions on the quality when they finished it, they'll take a picture and they'll add a note.
That's a good point. So talk about how it get closed out, because one of the things I find awesome, like when we do a cleanup, I can often grab those pictures off of the spire. Like even when I've been out of town and I might say, hey, Mr. Smith, we're done with your cleanup. Here's some photos. Now I don't say I'm not there. Okay. So maybe it's a little bit of a white lie.
Yeah.
It looks like I was there and I sent pictures. I can't tell you how many times somebody's like, thank you. It looks great. We're very happy. That's a closeout part that the team leader's required to take pictures of the work.
Absolutely.
It's like verification of service, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They take pictures of the whole process. So if they're there for a 1 week long, they're taking project pictures.
Okay.
If they're there just for the day, they'll just take photos at the end.
Anything else that maybe we should have talked about that sets a team leader up for success? When a team leader gets back here at the end of the day, is there anything we've missed talking about that helps them have a good next day? If they finish the job, they're looking for their next job when they come in. So that to cut down on time in the morning, if they're not finished with that job, they're coming back and they've got a plan together for the next day, right?
Right. Absolutely.
What is different on LK, the gardening and the mowing in terms of this? Because they're doing more reoccurring services. Is there anything different? I mean, they're still planning the night before. Like, can you speak to what an LK team leader that has the gardening services or a mowing team leader is doing the night before?
Well, they're typically reviewing their tickets as well. They just have many more tickets
right,
because they're doing short stops. But for the LK side, I know Alan was great with this. We've had some salespeople who are great with this. If they want to really own their property, they will put weekly or monthly notes in.
I see.
And that gives targets for the team leader. Hey, I need to hit X, Y, and Z this week. And then
clients
I'm going to
have a party, concentrate on the backyard, whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, you see the same thing. You see the guys down here using the screen for LK. They're going through all of their notes for the next day.
Yeah.
And that way they can plan their day out. They may do a little shorter visit on one stop because they know the next stop's going to add 15 minutes.
And I know, like, you've been to my house, like, you could get lost there. You can't, if you go and just start working in the front yard, you may not even get to the backyard.
Yeah.
So there's some planning that goes on. Can you also speak to route optimization and why we cluster properties together and what advantage that can give us when rain is impending or when we're, you know, like the spring, it's more heavy, the summer, it's easier, the fall, it's heavier. Can you speak to the importance of the route optimization and clustering stops?
Well, I know the first year we had Aspire, we didn't have route optimization.
Right, exactly.
And I could tell you, we got much more efficient the year we started optimizing the route.
Why?
It just took the drive time away.
Yeah.
You know, the guys aren't driving all over town to whatever client they want to go to next, right? They're following the route and they're doing it in order to minimize that drive time, which gives them more time on the site to get the job done.
And it lets them move some stuff up. So if turf is dry and you're not mowing a couple or whatever, you're not having to weed as much, you might grab three more and you might be out of here at 2 o'clock on Friday.
Right. Absolutely.
But if you're, you know, it's like Henry Ford said, you can have any color car you want as long as it's black. Like, we're telling our customers, we're not in your neighborhood on Friday. We're in it on Wednesday. That's when we have to mow it.
Absolutely.
And what happens when you say that in a nice way, and as you say, you smile, most customers are like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. It's
the process. We weren't doing that before though.
Right.
We were where service is always in season. So if you wanted your lawn mowed on Wednesday, even though we were mowing your neighbors on Friday, we'd go in that neighborhood twice.
Right.
That was me. Dumb. What an idiot. So that was all part of that. Anything else on the mowing or the LK that's a little bit different from the construction that might help our listeners?
For the mowing, that's just the guys really understanding their properties, right?
Yeah.
The crews, the team leaders, they know which properties hold water. They know which properties don't hold water.
So they might reverse the route.
They know where to go to still mow safely.
Yeah. And safely and not tearing stuff up and all that other stuff.
Absolutely.
Because, man, it gets tough. The grass still grows and you can't get a mower down in it. We're not telling any of you anything you don't know. Okay, Jimmy, thanks for coming in. I want to wrap it up with this. Can you share, like, the three things, if you had to boil it down, the three habits that a great team leader here does on a daily, weekly, quarterly, annual basis to be successful?
Well, the three things, in my opinion, that they would do is pre-planning.
Okay, pre-planning.
Right. Coaching.
Coaching their team.
So they're gonna teach their second or their third on their crew everything that we've taught them in training.
Yep.
Right. And then they're gonna go back and they're gonna review that. They're gonna see how well they've done. So if they're not judging themselves and looking at their
That's
job
really
and
good.
Saying, hey, boss, I did XYZ today and Z didn't look very good, but here's my plan for tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
Once they start doing that, you know, you're on the right path. So
pre-planning, coaching, and then a review.
Yep.
That's really good.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. Appreciate
Thank you. You're awesome. Love working with you. So folks, that was Jimmy Hendricks, our senior group leader here at the Grunder Landscaping Company. That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show. If you haven't done so already, folks, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, take out your phone right now, text this episode, maybe to one of your team leaders or an aspiring team leader or your partner, and have them listen to it as a way to get better. And if you want to come see us at a field trip, you can get to know Jimmy even better and listen to more of his words of wisdom. Thanks for joining us this week on The Grow Show. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Grow Show, and thank you to Bob Yard for their support of this episode. Visit growgroupinc.com for more resources to help your landscaping company succeed. We'll talk to you next week.